Hi there folks, Paul here, signing in for another video, the final video in our Sermon on the Mount series. Welcome back. Thank you so much for taking the time to come and join with me. I had a look at the numbers, 25 videos, nearly 7 hours in teaching. And what a beautiful journey that the Lord has taken me through as I've been preparing these words to share with you. I hope it's been as much a blessing for you as it has been for me. But we're going to wrap it up now. This final one, Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 29. And as always, I'm going to read it first with then some discussion and look to wrap up the entire thing. There is so much here for us. But read along if you can while we go through it now. Matthew chapter 7 from verse 24. Jesus speaking, as always, says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." Now just a couple of thoughts here. Therefore, it begins, therefore, which means this is now the summary. Because of what I have said beforehand, whoever hears these sayings of mine, and here's the key, does them, I will liken them to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Now we understand as Christians, nearly 2,000 years later, the rock is Jesus. We understand that. They did not understand that then. What they understood, especially in this region of Galilee, was it was a very sandy, shallow area. You had to dig down to get to the bedrock to actually build on it, which is why this illustration is so powerful. And they would have truly understand that if your house, if the foundations were built on rock, not on sand, you can weather the storms. Of course, for us, there is more to this. And what we see here in the Sermon on the Mount, following up from there, verse 24, therefore, I love how this fits into the previous two sections, the previous two videos, doing good to please God, that we are known by our fruit. This is important, that we are known by our fruit, and that we are to beware, be alert towards false teaching and false prophets. And so many, as we discovered, will have those words spoken to them, "I never knew you." And God and the Lord says here, "Therefore, whoever hears and does these words will be like someone founded on the rock." And I'm going to say that this applies, of course, to the entire Sermon on the Mount. What we see here is, in essence, the foundation of, I'll say, Christian discipleship. He touches on things like our humility. And as a man, this is something that we struggle with. Righteousness, prayer, forgiveness, these are all things that we as men, women, human beings, we struggle with because our human nature, our flesh, desires to seek after its own. But what we see here, teaching the Sermon on the Mount, is all about the kingdom of God and how we are to conduct ourselves now being born again into this kingdom. And it finishes here with this incredible warning, which we see in these last three sections. Understanding, as I mentioned in the previous video, that there is not chapter and verse when this was spoken. We do that just for illustration that we might find things. But here, if I can just emphasize a little bit further, each section, the wise builder, Jesus said, he who hears these words and what? And does them. This is the key. They are like the wise man who builds the house on the rock. And I want to emphasize this. These teachings, they are not just about belief. They are about obedience. And this is something which is so often, I believe, missing from the teaching in the modern church. I'm going to come to that in just one moment. It's not enough to just merely admire Jesus' words. Oh, I like that. That's good teaching. We must live them out. And the storms that we see here, the storms that come and the wind that blow and they beat on that house, these represent for us, now we see as illustration, our trials in life, temptations, sometimes judgment or correction from God to steer us back onto that narrow path. The thing is, folks, we've got to be careful from those teachers, preachers, prophets and pastors who just simply speak the good life. They just simply speak it's the easy life. The truth is this, life's hardships will come. But the one who builds their life here, their foundation on the rock, which is Jesus Christ, you will withstand those trials. The foolish builder here, not everyone, he says, who hears these sayings of mine. There are those who do not do them. They're like the foolish man and the house which is just built on sand, a soft, easy, soft foundation. It collapses when these storms come, when the trials, the temptations and so on, when they come, the house falls. Oh, but God, why? No. That is the cry of the immature Christian. For the faithful one stands on the rock and knows that Jesus has got this. You are my Savior. I am now yours and you will look after me. And so what we see here in this scripture is, it is a sobering reminder for us that without Jesus, life is fragile. Without applying these things, without living these things, we are walking in a spiritually dangerous pathway. James said that we cannot be just hearers of the word, we must be doers also. What I'm saying, folks, is I need you to live out these teachings. And as a whole, as we look now at the Sermon on the Mount, what we see is a call to action to live in a way which is so incredibly different and opposite of that of which the world would have you live. Jesus here, he defines righteousness, calling his followers, calling us to be peacemakers, to be praying, to love our enemies. This is the opposite of what the world would have. We are to pray. We are to give in secret, not for our own glory, but speaking to our Lord. And to focus on storing up treasures in heaven, not here on earth. I'd love it if you would take the time, once we've finished this series, once you've listened to all of these, just go back and just read through. Just read through the Sermon on the Mount. It's going to take you about 15 minutes. Just read the whole thing. And look, this is opposite, the exact opposite to what the world would have you do. It's not just ideals. It's not just, hey, fanciful things. Yes, I'll do this. It's actually a new way of living. It's about the action that we take, not just the belief. This is what building our foundation on the rock means. I don't care if you want to build a house, and yes, I should build this on the foundations of rock, but you don't. Because then when the trials come, when the storms come, it will fall over if it's not built on rock. And I saw just the other day here in my local area, the roads just outside our property, the council's doing some patchwork on them. And I mean, it's patchwork. This is a bitumen road. We are very fortunate where I live. We have bitumen road. A lot of the places around here don't. They're just dirt. But it's a bitumen road, and you get the potholes, of course, but they fill the potholes with just like a little bit of gravel and just compress it. And the other day I was watching them doing some roadworks, and they're cutting out entire sections. And I could see that the base of even the bitumen was only this much. So they cut that away into the dirt, and then they just filled it with gravel. There is no foundation on that. There is no strength, no stability. And I know as I know, because when the rain comes and it just washes it away and it's pathetic, and then they have to just come back and do it all over again. I don't know why they do that. But they do not put any foundation, any depth, any strength into their roadworks around here. They take the quickest, easiest, sort of lightest, less burdensome way. But we look at this teaching from God, this beautiful words in the Sermon on the Mount, which started for the disciples, and we are so blessed that we, like others, get to come and join in and listen and learn from it. Verse 28, and so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, not like the scribes. The difference between the teaching of God versus the teaching of men. And I tread carefully as I say this, but I see it so often, as I'm sure I hope you do, and recognize it when it comes. With the internet access that we have here in our modern Western world, with YouTube and with sermons coming out of our ears, how many do you see? They are not teaching with authority of God, but they are teaching the ideas of men. And this is a modern Western world construct, that we teach light, that we teach pleasant, that we tickle the ears and tell people what they want to hear rather than what God wants them to hear. Did you hear the section right here that we're reading now? Did you see the warning? Did you see the warning? Did you hear the warning just before and then even before that? That you will be known by your fruit. And a bad tree produces bad fruit. And that many will say, Lord, Lord, we did this in your name. We did that in your name. And he will say, depart from me, I never knew you. And here he says, but everyone who hears these things but does not do them, they will be like a foolish man who built their house on the sand. These are the warnings, everything in Scripture that we see, just as it was in the Old Testament, as it is now in the New. Yes, there are promises of good fruit and blessing and rejoicing and living a beautiful life. Yes, but there are also horrible, devastating warnings that if you hear this only and do not do it, you are foolish. And there are consequences for such things. And so what we see here, this entire sermon, it's not just about listening, it's about doing. And so I ask you now, as we wrap this up, I hope you'll take the time to reread, or at least not, maybe just look at the sections if you must. But I want you to reflect. I want you to reflect on where you are at now in your walk with Christ. And I put up my hand, not for glory, but for shame, and say, for the first 15 years of my walk with the Lord, and I'm saying this now as someone who has come back to Christ, for I fell, and that house and that fall was great. But since I put my hand up and said, Lord, Lord, help me, show me how you want me to live, it took me, to my shame, 15 years to start living that out. And I thank God for his grace, and I thank him for his mercy that he gave me those 15 years to now be where I am blessed in a way that I thought, is this even possible? Yes. Does it stop the trials from coming? No. But now my wife, my family and I, we walk through them with Jesus on that rock. This is what I want for you, folks. This is what I want for you to do. I want you to understand that these teachings, and I dare say that if you were just to follow these teachings from the Sermon on the Mount, you would be walking a beautiful, wonderful, fruit-filled Christian life. Is there more? Yes, absolutely. There's the rest of the book. There's so much more. But if you just lived these out, oh, wow. How good would that be? That alone would separate you from the world, which is what God wants for you, not just in your heart, but in your actions also. I need you to understand, if you're not yet at that place, and we have to move to that place. This now, it's not a burdensome way of living. It's not. It's life-giving for eternal life. That was the whole point and purpose as to why Jesus came. We have the fall. We see right back in the very beginning that relationship torn apart between God and man because of sin. And then Jesus comes that we might be restored to relationship with our Father in heaven. The whole point, the whole purpose of it, it's not that we might amass wealth and happiness and joy here on earth. It is that we might find ourselves living with him through now eternity coming. There is blessing along the way, but the blessing is eternal life with Christ, that we might be made new in our resurrected bodies, just as he was the first. And we will then follow also. That is our hope. That is the hope. So as we go out into the world and we preach Jesus, we must also preach the hope, because that is what's missing in this world. Hope. Hope for tomorrow. Hope for the day to come. Hope that someone, just someone, might love me. Hope that someone cares about me. Yes. But hope for relationship restored with our Father in heaven for eternal life. That is the hope for which we preach the cross of Christ. Never forget that. And so I want to wrap up now. I'm reminded of an old hymn. I'm kind of thankful I can't remember how it actually goes, but I've written the words here, just the first verse in the chorus, "The solid rock. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name." And then the chorus, "O Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand." Folks, thank you so much for joining with me for this series. I pray that your walk with Christ has been enriched and that you will just wake up each day now and be one of those who is praying not just for yourself but for your family and for others also. Wherever God has put you, this is what I pray for you. God bless. I've got a new series coming up shortly. We'll get to that one soon. Thank you so much again for joining with me. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and give you peace. Bye-bye.